Thank you, praise team. And at this time, the children are dismissed to Children's Church. One announcement that was in the bulletin is not true. There is no truth project tonight, okay? So there's nothing going on tonight. Honor your fathers, okay? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, come before you today. Lord, this message is every bit for me as it is for everyone else. And Lord, that makes it difficult. Lord, give us your heart. Give us your mind. Give us your truth today. And Lord, just bless this time that we share. Lord, make it good as we spend time in your presence. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I want to begin this morning with a question. How many of you are going out for lunch today? All right. Fathers, do you have to pay anyway? You know, I think about that, and, you know, for those who didn't raise your hand, did you go out to eat this week sometime? Okay, some of us have. When you get to the restaurant, you look at a menu, right? You go to your favorite restaurant. Now, how many of you have done this? Go to your favorite restaurant. You look at the menu anyway. And you know you're going to order the same stupid thing that you ordered last time. Amen? We do that. We do that in a restaurant. And as we talk this morning, I think oftentimes we do the same thing with this book. When we look at God's Word, why do we look? What do we get out of it? Is it fresh? Do we want something new on the menu, or do we want the same old thing? Are we happy with the same old thing? This morning I'm going to be sharing out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And kind of looking at where we are in 2 Timothy 3, Paul is writing to Timothy, a young pastor, and when we get to chapter 3, he's dealing with some issues of what's going on in the world. And he's telling Timothy that, you know, there are difficult times coming. And, you know, sometimes for us, and you only need to look at the headline news and get depressed. We look at what's coming in this world. Sometimes we don't know how to react. We don't know how to pray sometimes. We don't know how to live. But this word, this Bible, tells us all that. It gives us all we need. In chapter 3, dealing with the difficult times to come, and Paul talks about men serving themselves. But he gets to 2 Timothy 3, and verses 14 and 15, he says, "But you must continue in the things which you've learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And then the meat of what we want to look at is contained in verses 16 and 17 here. "All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." You know, we look at this scripture and we think about how Paul instructed Timothy, a young pastor. Paul recognized the importance of scripture and the word for the basis of what we think about. And as Paul shares this with Timothy, he goes through some things here in, you know, that are listed in verse 16. And we want to look maybe a little more closely about those. But before we do that, the first part of verse 16 said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." And we want to think about that. If we don't believe the first part of that verse is true, you're going to get nothing out of the rest of this today. None of this will be pertinent for your lives. And as I look at this, the very first thing we need to trust this word. We need to trust that God has given it to us. And it'll show us the things that we need. Verse 16 says there, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. Okay. Other versions are going to say teaching. It's for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as we look at those four things, those are four things that we need to get from this word. Doctrine, it's a big word. You know, it's kind of hard. I think about teaching. I would equate the word truth with this. What we get from the Word of God is truth for a situation. We can add a list to that thing. So, you know, we can look at the truth of God, His promises, His precepts, also His commands. We see the things that God communicates that He likes, and that He dislikes, or even abhors. So for the Christian, in understanding that this word is true, we know that it's profitable for doctrine. It can teach us what we need when we need it. And I think for all of us, we're real good at this one. I like knowing the truth. We come to Sunday school, we talk about it, we discuss it, and it's a really good one. But then we get to the second thing on the list, and I don't like that one as well. Reproof. Anyone here like being reproved? Raise your hand. Okay, no one. I'm lying with my hand up. We look at reproof. What is reproof? And I would think that, you know, Paul communicating this to Timothy, it's a way of communicating the error to the errant. Okay, reproof is a way to communicate what a person is doing wrong to that person. And it's kind of interesting, as Paul goes through this list, as he's sharing it with Timothy, it's almost sounds external to Timothy. Use the word for reproving others. Use the doctrine for teaching others. Use the correction for others and the instruction for others. But I look at this and it's like, people, we need this inside first. As the truth of God, if we let it penetrate us, it's important. And, you know, sometimes we can be in a habit, and, you know, I prayed before this message, this is just as much for me as it is for you. Something that I've been doing over the last year and a half, being that 1 year was my goal, was to read through a different version of the Bible that I've not read before. And I can sit down sometimes and I can eat up big chunks of that. And it does sometimes little on the inside of me. It's when I sit down with a little bit and really chew it up and taste it. And that's what this message, that's what this passage is all about. Taking those doctrines of God, chewing on them a little bit. Studying them. And if you're like some of us, I know, you know, and I know Jeff is similar to me when we're prepping for Sunday school. There's like four or five different versions of the Bible, and we're looking, we're comparing. Not so much looking for differences, but looking at the big picture of the truth of God. That's when it speaks. And when we look at Scripture that way, when we allow it to penetrate who we are, that doctrine, that truth, it begins to speak to us. And if you're like me, I've looked this week and in preparing for this, even in that reading chunks, I'm praying that the Lord would show me these things. There are things I needed to hear this week, and I'm glad I didn't just buzz over them and take them quickly. But reproof, to show men their sins, communicating the error to the errant. And as we apply that, sometimes we need to do that, but always with love and tact. The third one we look at is correction. And that's kind of making that reproof thing right. Okay, it's one thing to point out the error, whether it's in yourself or others, but it's important to correct that. And as we look at the correction, if it's external to us and dealing with someone else, is we want to reclaim people from an anti-God worldview. We want to make things right. We want to correct that. And as we look at these two together, you know, we need to think as Christians, whether it's in our own lives or the lives of others that we come in contact with, and with this scripture was to Timothy, and he was to use these tools as he pastored that church, even as a young man. And I want us to think, too, that with the doctrine and the truth that we have, when we look at the reproof and the correction, those two hold hands. We have no business reproving someone unless we have the answer. Those two, they're connected. And sometimes we can do that. I have done that. I have kicked myself. Anyone else been there? That's not how to handle God's word. That's not how to handle God's truth. So those two we deal with together. The fourth one there is for instruction in righteousness. And I think about this as where the rubber meets the road. You know, as we live our lives and we think about how we live, you know, if we live and go through the other three parts of that scripture, the instruction in righteousness, it helps us to live out that doctrine. It helps us to live out that truth. Because we think about the things that are right. We think about the things of God, and we have, you know, he's beginning to wire us to live those things. And so if we study Scripture or we read it, you know, I know there could be some people here that this book gets dusted off before you put it in the car to come here, if you're bringing it all. That's a possibility. Looks good on a coffee table. It might look good opened up on a stand somewhere to your grandma's favorite scripture. But there's so much gold in that book, we don't even touch. That's what this message is about. That's what this scripture is all about. It's like Timothy. Paul says to Timothy, use this. It's for the good. It'll teach you. It'll change your life. It'll allow you to impact the lives of others and help to change theirs as well. But we really need to realize that before we can use this in a way that enhances the kingdom, we need to use it to fix us. It needs to be internal. We need to realize how important this scripture really is. And, you know, some of you out here have been Christians longer than I have, and I've been one for quite a while. The grayer we get, right, Jeff? And how many times we open that book fresh to a familiar passage, and the Lord gives us something new that we need. What a joy to know that God still speaks through this word and changes us, speaks directly to us. You know, it's no different than, you know, I hear a lot of people a lot of times, you know, you're driving down the road, you know, even a couple times over the past weeks, I've heard people talking about, I heard this on the radio, and this really hit me. That's the scripture. It's being alive. And as I think about this scripture, I want to add another one to it. I want to turn to Hebrews 4. And as we look at this, Hebrews 4, picking up in verse 11, and kind of putting this into context. Before this, the writer is helping us to get the mood right in our hearts and our minds. Mood is not a good word, but you're going to have to live with it because that's all that's in there for the moment. But to get us ready for what he refers to as a Sabbath rest, a chance to think and dwell on the things of God, a chance to sit back and look at what we're seeing, what we're experiencing of God in His Word. And the writer, he gets to verse 11. He says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." And then we hit the section, the scripture we want to look at, and this is in New King James. "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul, of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The NIV, the New American Standard, use the Word of God is active. And I think both those words are good. You know, the connotation is something that is present and moving, changing, impacting. The Word of God is powerful. It is active if we embrace it. But as we think about the application of these scriptures, you know, they're living and powerful, but they're sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I don't know about you, but there are times when I read this book and it slices me in two. Sometimes we don't like that. But sometimes that's exactly what we need. Sometimes it discerns the thoughts and motivations of our heart. Sometimes that's a scary thing. But I want to tell you, it works both ways. Have you ever read a scripture and got a hug from God where He says, "I think you get this one"? It goes both ways. It's living and active, not just to cut you. It's to divide the good. You know, it's to cut the bad part away, enhance what's good. Enhance the part of the relationship that we need with Christ. The reason that it cuts is to prune us. It's to make us into who God wants us to be. The scripture is alive. You know, I think about Jesus being called the Word, being made flesh, dwelling among us. It is living and active. It divides our thoughts, our motivations. And the thought of this, it all boils down to this, is, do we read the scripture or do we allow it to read us? I want you to think about that one. That sounds like backwards. It sounds like, you know, almost an oxymoron, kind of like military intelligence. But allowing the scripture to read you, it's not going to become alive until you allow it to do that. That's a choice that you have to make. That's a choice I need to make. When we allow it to actually discern us, our relationship with Christ, whether or not we even have one, what we do with our relationship, trust that word. It's not gonna lead you astray. It may take you where you don't want to go. But you're going to find out it's a good place. Trust it. God's word is good. We need to allow it to read the very spirits that are inside of us. Quite often it shows us who we are, and that's a good thing. We need to know who we are. It's going to meet you where you live. It's going to speak something different to you than it does to me sometimes. Sometimes it'll speak the same thing. Sometime you're going to find someone that you're going to run into that has spoke the same thing to, and you're going to have a lot to talk about. Sometimes it'll read things into you that are just meant for how you are to help someone else. But let it read your spirit. It's not only going to show you who you are, but it's going to show you who you can be. Scripture shows us that we are adopted sons and daughters of God. That's good. It's going to show us how to live life with a pattern that is probably, for the most part, contrary to what the world is telling you on TV. That's a good thing. There are things we're going to read there that are going to make our hackles come up sometimes. But they're true. And when we decide to live life the way God designed it and trust His word and obey it, we're going to see the best things God has. We're going to see who He is. You know, this is His love letter to us. He wants us to know Him. You know, this is salvation, that they may know me. God wants to be known. Let the word teach you. Now, sometimes when we're looking at that word, we don't look right. And, you know, kind of a parting thought, and it's, I'm going to take you back positive, but, you know, sometimes we can skip those spots we don't like. I urge you not to do that. Because those are the ones that are reading you. It's hard, but you'll never regret it. If your heart's prepared to meet Jesus and to understand the things of God, it's going to talk. It's going to tell you what you need to hear. And it's something we all need to experience. And that's, you know, putting these two passages, and they're familiar ones. You know, these are ones that I know, even as a little kid. I did it in New King James because I remember Bible school, learning these verses in the 60s. But it was King James, not New. They didn't have New King James yet. Trust that word. It'll serve you well. It'll serve the kingdom well, and it's going to let you see who God is. And I want you to think in closing, you know, if your devotional time, if your study time has been dry lately, think about these verses. Think about the value of them being able to read you, the value to change you, to mold you, to build you into what is useful for the kingdom and useful for yourself, to allow the most good God can give you. That's the way it was meant. And as we think about that, and I'm closing with that, I want you just to remember how important this word is and how active and living it really is in our lives. Don't miss it. Don't miss the blessing of understanding who God is. We'll never get it. I will never fully understand God. We're going to be in heaven forever, and I don't think we're going to fully understand Him, but we're going to fully experience Him. When we start with this scripture, when we start to love this, we really start to love God who wrote it for us. It'll serve you well. Amen. I'm going to do a commercial for next week. You know, this week we looked at, do you trust the Word? And next week, do you trust God? I'm putting the cart before the horse. I should have done these the other way around, but there's a reason. Okay? Because we needed to hear this first. I'm going to close in prayer, and the praise team can come. But think about these things. You know, pray to the Lord as you're reading your Bible. You know, it was a good reminder for me to ask Him to speak to me as I'm reading it. And that's a promise He always keeps. He will keep that one. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You and praise You for who You are. We do thank You for Your Word being living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, sometimes it hurts us to allow us to discern, Lord, even our motivations. But Lord, help us in that process. Help us, Lord, to realize that as this scripture reads us, Lord, that at the same time it's helping us to read You. Lord, this is what You want. And Lord, help us to do that. Help us to really enjoy what You've placed before us. And Lord, we pray that as we study, that You would teach us what we need. Not only for our good, but in a way that we can enhance the lives of those around us with that truth. And affect a lost and dying world with the truth that Jesus saves. We just thank You for this time. Lord, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.